How many of you would like to hear Jesus' voice? How many of you would like to be like the early disciples who not just heard his voice, but heard the inflection in his voice, saw the expressions on his face, was able to feel the power of his words? Wouldn't that be quite the experience? I think a lot of us feel like if we just heard Jesus' voice, if we're able to experience that, that would be the boldness we need to live our faith well. That would be that little impetus we need to follow Christ more fully. Well, I have bad news for you. There's many thousands of people who heard Jesus speak. They were there for his parables. They were there for his teaching. They were there to hear his voice. They could feel the power of his words. And yet, after thousands heard him speak, there were only six at his crucifixion. The rest of them all left. So even if we could hear his voice, a lot of people left even after all that. Well, the good news is this. We can still hear God's voice. And it's more important for us today. This is what builds our faith. It's the scriptures. The scriptures are our way of hearing God's voice now. And the challenge is, I think most of us struggle with scripture on many different levels. Either it's too complicated, it's too strange, we just don't know what to do with it, that we don't engage with it well. I honestly believe the reason why we struggle the most is for lack of reverence. We don't have a true reverence for scripture. Now, to make my point clear, I want to start talking about reverence as we dive into reverence for scripture. Most people think of reverence as an external expression, how we wear, how we act, that kind of thing. That's not what I want. I'm talking about interior reverence, a sense of the divine, a sense of something important, a sense that comes out of us that makes us realize there's something more valuable out there. That's that type of reverence. To start out with, our church. A reverence for what we have here. Think about what we do. God is here present with us. When we come here, it's not just some other building, like we're entering a grocery store or city hall. Here is a place of profound encounter with God. Here we see him physically present before us. That's what's so astounding about our church building, and what should build a sense of reverence, sense of awe, that here we are in the presence of God. I had one of our seminarians staying with me, and right before I took him to the airport, he said to me, "Just one moment, I want to go say bye to Jesus." They went off to the chapel. That's what I mean. That kind of endearing sense that it's not just a place. God is here as a friend. He wants us to come and encounter him. The same thing works with scripture. We have to have a sense that we believe God speaks to us through scripture. We believe his words are present to us. We can hear him speak. That's the kind of reverence we need. I can't tell you how painful it is for me when I see kids standing on the Bible, or they're throwing it on the ground, or they're like ripping pages. I'm like, that's God's word. What are you doing? But that's the sense that we lost, that we can have God speak to us. Now, here's the way we do that, though. It's very simple. We have to realize it's not just like any ordinary book. We don't just put it on the shelf next to one book or another. We have to almost enthrone it in our houses. We have to have a place where it sits by itself, to recognize its dignity. Maybe a stand. Maybe it's on top of the shelf. Let's say we're carrying a stack of books around. Where's the Bible? Is it nestled within everything else? Or does it sit on top as a place of prominence? This is that interior intention to say, no, this book is important. This is God's word. I have a certain duty, responsibility, desire to treat it with that kind of reverence and respect. To further my point, the liturgy teaches us about the reverence for God's word, and it does it in very prominent ways that we often dismiss. There is one book used in the liturgy which is valuable beyond all the other ones and treated with great reverence, the book of the Gospels. Not just all the readings, the Gospels, Jesus' spoken word. In the liturgy, it is processed in. It's not just here where I get up and I say, okay, open to page 69 and we'll start in the book of Genesis. No, we have a sense that when the book comes in, God's word enters this space. So it's processed in. It's placed on the altar. It's almost the only thing on the altar for half the Mass. That's how valuable it is, connecting what we celebrate, our sacraments, with the word that's proclaimed. They build each other. They build off of each other. They inform us together. God's word is immensely valuable. Then it has its own procession from the altar to the ambo with candles and incense to show the dignity of God's word among us. And if this were the case, I would also incense it. The incense links everything together, that the word spoken, the priest who performs the mass, the altar, the gifts, the people are all one thing, one celebration. Lastly, it's one of only two things in the mass that the priest kisses, the other one being the altar. This is the dignity of God's word proclaimed to us, an immense, incredibly important thing that we should spend some time reflecting on. God's word permeates our lives. We hear it, and it enters into us. So how do we build this sense of reverence, but also an understanding of Scripture? Well, I have a few different ways to help you. The first one, most prominent in many ways, is read it. Read it and pray with it. The two have to go together. It's not just a book where you open up and you start cover to cover and go, sweet, I read the Bible. It doesn't work that way. If you want to encounter God's word, if you want him to speak to you, then you have to be open to it, which means it has to be a form of prayer. We have to open ourselves up to the experience of God's word. Now, it's very simple how to do this. It just takes time, and that's the hardest part. When it comes to Scripture, there's a few different things that hinder us. The first thing is, and probably the most prominent, is it's not our culture. It's not our time period. It just doesn't make sense. We don't live in 6th century Judea. We don't see the temple before us. We're not used to all the rituals that go with Judaism. These things are just lost on us. But that's where we get confused, and we assume that if we don't understand every part, we can't listen to God's voice. That's just simply not true. God speaks to us in the now. He didn't just speak to us in the past and say, figure it out, or speak to us in the future and say, wait for me, I'll be there eventually. He speaks to us now. So we don't have to grasp every part. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to make this eloquent interpretation of Scripture. We just have to be open to hear God speak to us now. Even in the parts that make no sense at all, that might be where God speaks to us the most profoundly. I don't know. God does as God wants. The second hindrance we have is we always want to read it. Read it like a book. That's wrong. We take chunks, small chunks, and we mull over them. We let them continue to percolate in our minds. So you take like a paragraph or a passage. You read it slowly. Then you read it again. Then you read it again. And each time it allows us to go deeper into the text, allowing us to be open to what God may want to say and allow us to see things in new light. It's really that simple. Take a small passage, read it carefully, read it slowly. Let it become something that opens us up to the mystery of God. The second advice I have for you comes from the saints. I call it spiritual darts. Kind of fun that way. The saints had a profound love for Scripture, and two of them come to mind, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus and St. Dominic. They both carried the Gospel of Matthew and the letters of Paul with them wherever they went. This was very common with a lot of the great saints. They always had some part of Scripture with them. The Bible was too big and too expensive to carry, but they carried what they could. Oddly enough, the saints always carry the Gospel of Matthew. The heretics always carry the Gospel of Mark. Nobody carried Luke or John. Weird. Regardless of that fact, they had a sense that if the Scripture was with them, they could continue to reflect on it. And that's my second point, letting Scripture become part of your daily life. That's really when we see it come to its fore, when we can use it in various ways, when we can let it permeate the things that we're doing, let it help us in times of trouble. Hence, the idea of spiritual darts that comes from St. Dominic. St. Dominic said, what you need to do is take one line of Scripture, just one line, nothing more, and memorize it, so that in the moment of temptation or struggle, doubt, maybe you're frustrated, maybe things aren't going well, maybe you need help, you can just say that line, and it's like throwing a dart at the enemy. Now I have power against him. And so let's use our psalm as an example. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Doesn't take much to memorize that. Now when I'm struggling, I can just say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I can go further. Maybe I memorize the next line. Whom should I fear? What a powerful line when you think about it. If I could proclaim that in the devil's face or in the midst of temptations, whom should I fear? The answer being no one. Now I have an incredible level of confidence in the midst of what's going on. This is the joy of spiritual darts, memorizing very small chunks to use throughout our lives, to let it permeate all the things we do, so that Scripture now becomes part of our daily living. The last part that I have, the last advice, is how to engage with the Mass, namely the liturgy of the Word. I think so often we get confused because we feel like we have to pay attention to all of it. We have to know every little part, we have to make sure we know what's going on each reading, and there's so much, and it gets confusing and lost. That's not right. Technically speaking, if you were to go to Mass for 12 years in a row, you will hear the same readings 4 times. You get lots of shots at them. So how do we engage with it? Remember, this is about listening to God speak, not about getting it all. And technically, the readings are out of context, and they're kind of chunks, so they're mixed up and confusing. It's supposed to be so that the homilist can bring them together and expand upon them for you. So what do? The answer is simple. We open ourselves up, and if we are listening attentively, maybe a word, a phrase, an idea, an image, a person sticks out to us. Well, that's God speaking to us. We take that to prayer. We spend time reflecting on it. We listen to how that might ebb and flow through the rest of the Mass to build upon the theme and guide us to experience God more fully. Another thing you can do is read the readings before Mass. That way, when you get here, you already have a sense of their structure, flow, the intricacies of it, so you're not caught off by the fact that, oh, that's a weird reading. But instead, like, oh, I get a sense of it. Now I can feel engaged with it. Another thing you can do is, as you're driving home with your family, discuss them. What did you get out of Mass? What did you notice? What did you see? What was different? How did the readings affect you? That kind of discussion brings God to the rest of your day as you continue to bring the graces of Mass into the rest of your day. There's lots of things you can do to engage with Scripture. And our psalmist tells us why. The goal is very simple, so that we can gaze upon the goodness of the Lord and contemplate our salvation. That's a beautiful line. This is the reason why hearing God's word and contemplating Scripture is so important, that we gaze on God's goodness and contemplate our salvation. So I challenge you, build your reverence for Scripture. Find a way to enthrone it in your home, to build it as a practice in your day, even if it's just a small little bit. Do not be afraid of it. Open yourself up to God, let Him speak to you through it, and help Him guide you through the rest of the challenges of your day, or just to experience Him. It's worth it. It's what we deeply desire. Because God wants to speak to us now, in the now, and let us hear His voice. Let us be affected by it. Let us be joyful that God is with us, that we may know everywhere and always that God is helping us hear His voice, and guiding us through the challenges of life.